live. Sorry about being late. We had a power outage here, blitzed out the computer and blitzed out the camera, but Aaron got it all fixed. We're working on getting it to the other platforms right now. It's not any of the platforms. It is us. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Richard Perry is on tonight. Goosey 600, Hassle Free Tiva is on. Sparky 8142 is on. John Phillips is on. Jeannie Malfizi is on. Nobody worry. I know we're not all going to agree on Israel. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. We're not all going to agree on Israel. It's all middle of the ground. It is a Philippians 2:12 issue. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's evil on every single side. So we're not all going to agree. So everyone just sit back and enjoy the ride tonight. Just Jesse is on. S. Clark is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Gritter Dunn is on. Christopher Arnott is on. PSU is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Key Lime 13 is on. JD Joy is on. Robin Aroni is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Sexy Pony is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Waterline 46 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Granite 2468 is on. Judy Anita is on. Genesis 5v2 is on. Joe Enns is on. Snagdog is on. Let me see here, scrolling down just a little bit. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Peg McGroin is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Let me see here. TJT1 is on. Naz Jaeger is on. Lady Vu is on. Mini Ball is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to Israel. So here's where I stand on Israel. I am in favor of Israel. Most of the time. And that's very generic, but I'm just telling you, for me, everything operates in specificity. Every single scenario, there's always, when you're dealing with human beings, it's a percentage basis. When you're dealing with God, it's let your yes be yes, your no be no, for whatever's more than that is from the evil one. But when you're dealing with people, and again, here, you know, it becomes, it sounds somewhat duplicitous, but it's not. When you're dealing with the gospel of Jesus, somebody is either right with God or they are not, but they are a work in progress. Because you're right with God 100%. When you get saved, all of your sins are washed away. Now, where you go in that has to do with how much work you put in afterwards. Faith without works is dead, you know, James chapter 2. But anyway, so I mean, that is whenever you're dealing with the gospel, it's pure and pristine. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. So I mean, God is perfect. Everybody else is a percentage basis, but it doesn't mean you can be like a Christian and say, you know what, I'm a Christian and I only sin 40% of the time. No, you're actually then 100% wrong with God. So please understand what I'm saying when I say when you're dealing with people, it's percentages. With the gospel, you are made 100% right through the blood of Jesus as long as you have turned from your sin. But anyway, and then you are a work in progress as far as getting past carnality, getting past compromise. When you do sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, confess your sin, all of that. So please, I don't ever want people to be thinking, well, Tom says, you know, we're all a work in progress. So, you know, I sinned a little bit less last year than the year before. No, you're hellbound. Just want to make sure you understand. Unless you have turned from your sin, yeah, you're hellbound. So, but when you're dealing with the Ephesians chapter 2, Prince of the Power of the Air, when you're dealing with humanity, when you're dealing with unsaved people, it's you have to understand that everybody's wrong and everybody in the situation, for all intents and purposes, is not going to heaven. Does everyone understand this? So everyone be like, okay, Israel's 100% right. How can they be 100% right when they're not saved? Okay, then what about the mullahs? Well, they're certainly not 100% right. So to come in and say, you know what, Israel is right in this strike is ignorant. To say Israel's 100% wrong in this strike is ignorant. All right, you see what I'm saying? There are obviously reasons for this strike. There are justifications, so to speak, for this strike. Am I for this strike? Absolutely not. Why? Why do it? Okay, I mean, well, because Iran has threatened Israel. Everybody is threatening Israel. They've been threatened for forever, and all of Netanyahu's promises, which we're getting to right away, have never come to fruition. Every time he says that we are going to have regime change, and then it's going to stabilize the region, it never does. Can everybody please get on board with at least that? How much? I mean, again, remember who you're siding with. You're all excited about this strike. Again, you can, two things can be right at the same time. Is Israel more right than Hamas, which is Iran sponsored? Yes. Now, here's the problem, though, is that the Mossad created Hamas. Does everybody get this? It's just like if you're going to be against the Nicaraguan rebels, the Sandinistas. Well, who created them? The CIA. To destabilize the government. Yeah, but they're communists. Okay, well, who got rid of the duly elected Iranian pro-Western president? The CIA. Then what did they do? They installed the Shah. And then they destabilized the Shah and they caused basically a Shiite revolution inside, because then they want to keep, what's the motivation behind this? Because instability is a great moneymaker. The CIA is all about protecting corporate interest. That's it, because we are all, every last one of you, whether you're for this attack or you're against this attack, every single one of us is living under a fascistic regime, because fascism is the merging of corporatism and governance. How many of you know that? I mean, if we're really gonna use the word fascist, which we should, then let's define it. Because basically every single Republican is a fascist, and so is every Democrat. Because they are all for the merging of governance and corporatism. They're all corporate sponsored. Well, not directly. Well, the lobbying firms are from corporations. Everybody is. Everybody in Washington, D.C. has an Israeli attaché attached to them to make sure that they tote the Israeli line. Does that mean I'm anti-Israel? No, but it's still true. Does everybody believe the UK is pure? Does anybody believe the UK is pure? MI6, Jeffrey Epstein, do you really believe they're pure? Okay, but does that mean I'm, some, I don't even want to name it because it just brings in all sorts of political ramifications if I name a country. If Uzbekistan attacks the UK, does that mean I'm not going to side with the UK? If Iranian mullahs attack UK, I'm not going to side with the UK. You know what? I know the UK has an evil percentage to them because they're run by the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the spirit of this world, the spirit of the Antichrist, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Please understand that. Nobody is righteous in this. Everybody wants to fight. Ukraine wants, we're going to go into Ukraine tonight if I have time, because the reason why I want to go to Ukraine is I want you to see the parallels. Let's look at little Mikey Pompeo. What's he on and about doing right now? Who are you siding with? If you're pro this strike, then please understand you're anti Bannon. See, Bannon is completely against this. Alex Jones is completely against this, and you're pro Mike Pompeo. But it doesn't mean that that you're wrong and that Israel is more righteous than Iran. But how much more righteous? I don't know. I honestly don't know, because you certainly can't back the mullahs. I mean, but nobody is following Jesus. Would everybody agree? This is what makes this podcast very different now. And some, not because I don't want people to watch, but it makes people, it's more exclusive, because we draw it all back to the Word of God. We're not like, because you wave an American flag, you're going to heaven. And I look at my shirt. I love America. When I was walking the other night, I was thinking, man, I am just blessed that I was born. I won the lottery being born in this country.
Yep.
I was thinking about the Iranian citizens right now, which, by the way, please get all the big picture with this. Ooh, don't be a Slava Ukraine moron. Slava Ukraine, Russia good. I mean, Ukraine good, Russia bad. I am Volodymyr Zelensky. You know, don't be a moron. You need to understand something, that the Persians are being ruled by the descendants of Muhammad, of which the Persians are not descendants of Muhammad. There is an installed government. Hey, Aaron, who installed that government? We did. And now we're in favor of bombing them? And does Trump get all this? Absolutely not. It literally is like when Pam Bondi came in and she puts out the Jeffrey Epstein binder. Okay, was she doing that on purpose to humiliate herself? No. She was just so ignorant about what all of us already know about Jeffrey Epstein. She wasn't paying attention to that. She's running for office and going to cocktail parties. She doesn't know any of that. And I don't despise Pam Bondi. Matt Gaetz would have been a lot better, and they should have held on, just pushed him through. But I digress. But anyway, Trump doesn't know all this. He is not, when he's in office, obviously he knows a lot. But there's times when he talks, I'm sitting there going, he doesn't know that. There is, because they're not necessarily like us. They're not. I'm not saying we're above them or better than them or anything else. But a lot of, Trump knows a lot more than most of us now, because he's getting a debriefing every day from the CIA, which is not okay. Trump didn't even know that Putin's helicopter had been attacked, which is why Putin upped the war and then decreased it. And then Trump had peace talks going on in Ukraine. And then Pompeo, Lindsey Graham, and Richard Blumenthal all show up in Ukraine at Kyiv and reinstigate the war again. See, if you think that all of this is righteous because Iran is going to have a nuclear bomb, let's look at all of those predictions. They're like climate change predictions. Aaron sent this in to me last night. George Video, follow George on Twitter. People of Earth, here's BB's predictions. Play for me.
There is no question whatsoever that Saddam is seeking and is working and is advancing towards the development of nuclear weapons. No question whatsoever. And there is no question that once he acquires it, history shifts immediately.
I think I've stated our policy, and I think it's very much your policy. That is, the question is really, how do we ensure that these weapons of destruction, these missiles, these chemical weapons, the nuclear program that is fast accelerating in Iraq, that these do not pose a threat in the aftermath of the crisis, assuming he gets out of Kuwait? This is an issue for the entire...
So it was in 1990 that Saddam was going to have weapons of mass destruction. And then after the Twin Towers somehow blew up, and everybody please understand the... Man, I could just, I don't know. Aaron's so right. I need to I don't even know if I need any sheets anymore. But anyway, please, does everybody understand the Twin Towers? Please understand it. Isn't it very strange that the owner of the Twin Towers didn't go to work that day because his wife said he had a dermatological appointment? And at the last minute, he doesn't go. But anyway, who buys those two buildings right before? And by the way, the state of New York and or the federal government was really trying to get rid of the Twin Towers because they're full of asbestos. So the Port Authority was actually trying to get rid of them, trying to basically condemn them. And lo and behold, two Jewish buyers came in and bought the Twin Towers. That's weird, isn't it? So now lots of different people now have access to the Twin Towers. And by the way, of course, Building 7 was owned by a Jewish human being. So now... there's access to those buildings all day long for possible demolition. If you believe they just fell down from a 747 or 737 striking them, you've lost your freaking mind. They're just going to fall down. They're going to melt. Do you realize that jet fuel cannot burn at the intensity to melt steel? Can we all just agree on this crap, please? They don't just spontaneously fall down. Not one building in history before, during, or after that event has ever fallen like that. And then they have a woman videotaping four Jewish men, Israelis, filming all of it, setting up their camera pre-airplane strike. Setting up their camera, filming it, and when the Twin Towers went down, rejoicing, all of them are pulled over, and for some reason, it's all covered up, pulled over, documented, got all their names, and then released as they were rejoicing about it all. That's kind of strange, isn't it? But the Jewish owner doesn't go to work that day. Strange. Bought by Jewish people. Mossad is on the record. The CIA is on the record, all with connectivity to the 9/11 hijackers, if they were even hijackers. So, I mean, they're all involved. And everyone believes that. I know that I'm talking to a red-pilled crew right here. But, I mean, Israel is not innocent. Now, of course, why would they do that? Well, there it is. So you have Bibi Netanyahu saying that, I mean, let's look at it. Look at the timeline. In 1990, he's claiming Saddam Hussein any moment's going to have nuclear weapons. Any moment. Now, wouldn't you feel stupid if you're saying that again 12 years later? I would feel stupid to the place where I wouldn't even say it.
Right.
Not Bibi. Okay, because Bibi wants war. Because it benefits Bibi to have war. So anyway, so now that doesn't pan out in 1990. So here we go, all of them. There's so many, many more incidences on the way there. But we're just skip to Iraq, the Iraqi war, wars as an example. So that doesn't work out. He doesn't get what he wants then. So then, although of course we had the initial Gulf War in the early 90s, and then of course he doesn't get what he wants. So now in 2002 they're 2 weeks away. So in 1990 they're 2 weeks away, and now in 2002 they're 2 weeks away, and then you have basically right after that or in that time frame. I don't know if it's before, during, or after. Here comes the quote unquote strikes into the World Trade Center. And then we go and bomb Iraq. Explain that to me. That's like Brent coming up and kicking me in the crotch and I punch Aaron in the face.
It's like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah, I'm just do Three Stooges with the whole, you know, they do a three person slap. And what? Why? Why would you go bomb? Okay, let's go back. So you have Iran versus Iraq. Who was it that? Okay, so we overthrow Iran twice. And then we arm Iraq to fight Iran. And then we overthrow Iraq. And we're all righteous. And everyone, oh, pro-Israel, go get them. Go bomb them. Pompeo. Pompeo's enriching himself off of it. You please hearken back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of what evil? All evil. Which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's why you see the most miserable people on earth are the richest people on earth. So I'm just telling you this. So you think about the genealogy of Iraq versus Iran. We overthrow Iran at least twice. Then we fund their adversary to fight them. And then we overthrow their adversary that we funded to fight them, saying that somehow Saddam Hussein was attached, connected to the bombing of the World Trade Center? Can anybody explain that to me? So Netanyahu somehow gets the World Trade Center incident, whether it was caused by Israel, instigated by Israel, contributed, because the CIA is knee deep in 9/11 also. They knew all of the 9/11 hijackers were in the country, and the CIA was tracking every last one of them. Two of them lived right here in Venice, Florida, training at Huffman Aviation at Venice Airport. It's an absolute fact. So please, I mean, all of these people are unsaved. All of these people involved in this are hellbound. You can't say that. Listen, if you're an Israeli and you have not received the blood of Jesus for the propitiation of your sin, what we call born again or saved, you're not going to heaven even if you're an Israeli. Even if you're a Trump follower and you've never received Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, you're not going to heaven. I love you. I love your politics. We are arm in arm in politics, but the facts are the facts. So the Bible says, Jesus answered them and said unto them, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's the way that it is. John chapter 3, verse 3. So please just don't be locked. Stop. It's like believing America is always righteous. Are we righteous when Clinton's running the show? Are we righteous when Hussein Obama's running the show? Are we righteous when Biden's running the show? Is Israel righteous when Bibi's running the show? That's how you have to think of things. Not, okay, Iran threatened them. Iran's been threatening them. You just saw Netanyahu, look how young he was, in 1990 saying the same thing about Iraq. And then Iraq fights Iran. And Bibi's fine with Iraq being overthrown after they fought Iran. And how's Iraq doing now? That's working out really well, isn't it? I mean, can anybody even know what's going on there? I mean, every country that we're involved in that Bibi sends us to is now in a civil war. He sent us to, let's just go into Africa. We feel threatened by Somalia. So we go and we attack Somalia. You know, Black Hawk down, we attack Somalia. Okay, what's happening to Somalia? It's split into the north and the south, and the north is having its own civil war, two factions fighting against each other, and the south is having civil war. Same thing's going on in Ghana, and look at it, look at Libya. How's that worked out? Let's take out Gaddafi, shall we? Let's take him out. Remember Hillary Clinton? And then, by the way, this is what everybody's siding with right now. If you're just, yeah, go bomb them, Israel. You're Hillary Clinton. I'm not saying that Israel's not more righteous than Iran. If Iran attacked Israel, I am absolutely fine with Israel defending itself. And I mean even over defending itself, because I've been fine to a degree with what they've done with Gaza. If you get attacked, and again, we can layer out 10-7, 2023. If you get attacked and you have the butcherings of 1,400 Israelis and hundreds of American or 100 Americans, rapes and murders and kidnappings and post-kidnapping murders, I'm fine with you leveling Gaza. But the problem is this too, is you have to deep dive into 10-7 and not just go Israel right, Hamas wrong. Well, Hamas is always wrong and Israel is proportionately wrong or on a percentage basis wrong. Everybody agree? I mean, Hamas is always wrong. They really are. They're always wrong. They really are. I mean, if you're going to go and you're willing to commit those atrocities, then you're always wrong, even if it's at the instigation of your opponent, which is what happened. Mossad was warned 6 days or more in advance by our own CIA that the attack was coming and did nothing and for some reason stood down. Explain to me how it is that paragliders are able to penetrate one of the most strategically, technologically advanced air defense systems on the planet and paragliders pierce it. You can't get a missile to land in downtown Tel Aviv right now because believe me, the Israelis are trying, but paragliders get through? How does that work, folks? That's like Joe Biden saying the border's closed. I mean, again, don't be blind. If you want to say Israel's more righteous than Iran, I agree with you. But to say that Israel is righteous in this attack, I disagree with you. There is no reason for it. The last salvo of missiles that Iran sent into Israel was after Israel attacked Iran, justifiably so, after 10-7. But is it even justifiably so if you instigated the attack yourself? It's called sacrificing your own pawns warfare. Instigating an event where your own people die. Who was it that blew up the USS Liberty? Can we all agree now that it was Israel? Because multiple witnesses on the ship have said that it was Israel. You're trying to sink it to the sea so that it caused another war, instigate us into another war, just like Gulf of Tonkin instigated another false flag event orchestrated by the CIA, ushered us into 58,000 American deaths in Vietnam. You think that was righteous? Go get them. Go get them. Communists, you know, versus fake democracy. Versus oligarchy, crony capitalistic democracy. Go get them, American troops. Mike Pompeo, everybody go die but me. Fat Mike, everybody go die but me. That's what it is. Lindsey Graham, everybody. Okay, Lindsey's loving it. Do you really want to be like Lindsey Graham and love this and think of that Israel's 100% right? This is what you're supposed to do. You can still think Israel's more righteous than Iran and be against this attack, which is exactly where I stand, where Bannon stands, where Alex Jones stands. No new wars. So how often has Bibi Netanyahu been wrong? Aaron, if you can do the best you can to blow this up for everybody and even blow it up for me, because I can't make it out good enough to... But just blow it up as big as you can, and we'll go through it. I could tell the first one's 19. Yeah, there, that's perfect. If you can do that in the scroll, there you go. You're the man, buddy. Perfect. So there we go. So here we are. Let's go. Here we are. Let's track Benjamin Netanyahu. Tom, I don't want to go to this length. Why not? You're going to choose. You need to choose, and you need to be informed, and then make a correct decision about where you stand. And again, you can be pro-Israel as I am. I know the Bible verses. I know Deuteronomy 11:12. I know 2 Samuel 7:24. I know the Bible verses. But is this real Israel or synagogue of Satan? Can you tell me for sure? No, nor can I. So here we go, 1992. Here's Bibi. Iran is 3 to 5 years from nuclear capability. How'd that pan out? That's what he's saying right now. He's not even saying 3 to 5 years. He's saying right now weeks to a year. Okay, and it's 25, folks, 25, 33 years ago, he said that this sounds just like, you know, functionings inside of the government, our own government. 1993, Iran pursuing nuclear weapons close to capability. 1993, 3 to 5 years was the prediction. 1995, 3 to 5 years again. So we've already inside of the original 3 years, already past the original 3 years. 1996, Iran's nuclear acquisition could be catastrophic. Deadline extremely close. It's 1996. That's when I got married. I've been married for 29 years. Okay, on 29 years in December. So, all right, let's go. 2003, Iran's nuclear program is a global threat. 1 to 2 years away. Okay, does everybody see this? This is all false flag. Iran has come out publicly and said, we have no interest in assassinating Donald Trump, which is what they were saying right after Crooks. You know, right before Crooks, there's an Iranian threat against his life. Why? Who? Where? Nothing. It's just people making it up for political expediency. Just like Bibi. Iranian, 2004, Iran aggressively pursuing nuclear weapons. 1 to 3 year prediction. 2005, Iran's nuclear ambitions must be stopped. 1 to 2 year prediction. 2006, Iran could have a nuclear bomb soon. 1 to 3 year prediction. This is just like climate change. Would everybody agree? It's just like climate change.
Yep.
2007, Iran racing to develop nuclear weapons. 1 to 2 year prediction. 2008, Iran's nuclear program nearing completion. 1 year prediction. Can you scroll that up for me? Anybody? There we go. Let's take it just very perfect right there. Iran, 2009. You're like, Tom, this is monotonous. I don't care. Iran, 1 to 2 years from nuclear capability. All of these came from Bibi Netanyahu. 1 to 2 years. 2010, Iran could produce a bomb within a year. 1 year prediction. 2011, Iran steadily moving to it. Remember, this has been going on since 1990. And we're now at 2012. 22 years in then. Now we're 13 years later now. 2013, Iran continuing nuclear weapons program. Could have it within a year, Bibi says. Iran closer than ever to nuclear weapons. Month to a year was the prediction. 2021. Iran, 2022. Iran weeks away in 2022. Nope. 2023, Iran advancing nuclear enrichment. Months away. 2024, Iran dangerously close to nuclear bomb. Weeks to months away. And then now here we are, 2025, Iran days away from enriching uranium for a bomb, days to weeks. And now we attack. And now Israel attacks. And by the way, like I said last night, it doesn't matter when you're dealing with global thermal nuclear weapons. If India attacks Pakistan, the world's over. If you, now I know it's not. I'm saying that just on a you know global strategic level, because the Book of Revelations is how the world will end. How nuclear war plays into that, I don't know, if any. But anyway. Things you could parallel to it that's in the Book of Revelation, but again, I digress. But if there's nuclear weapons, there's nuclear weapons. Okay, who has nuclear weapons? Israel has nuclear weapons, United States, UK, France, Japan, other ones, planted all around the world by the United States in the Five Eyes countries, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, who am I missing? Pakistan, India, China, Russia, obviously. So, how far is Russia from Israel? Not far. And Russia's sitting in the Mediterranean Sea right now. Well, can destroy Israel in about 5 minutes. So what's the point of attacking Iran? Can anybody explain it to me? Explain that to me. Explain to me why it is. Now, if the United States enters this war, what does Iran have with China and Russia? They have a mutual aid pact. And we join the war, Russia joins the war. China joins the war. And Russia's already parked off of the Israeli coast, as they're parked off our coast, and as we're parked off symbolically their coast. What's the point of taking out somebody's nuclear abilities when their ally already has them? And Israel can blow Iran off the earth 27 times over. They have thousands of nuclear warheads inside of Israel. They had hundreds in the 80s. Credit Alex Jones on that information. They had hundreds of nuclear warheads given to them by the United States in the 80s. And all the tech that they're using right now to strategically and surgically strike Iran is our tech. And Trump knew about it at least 3 days in advance. We're not participating in it that we know of. Because there's a deep state. There's a deep state that we saw it in 2000. We had 2017 to 2000 and the very beginning stages of 2021. Under Donald J. Trump, 17, 18, 19, 20, we had under Donald Trump, and he never could get control of the deep state. Nobody's been able to get control of the deep state. Jeffrey Sachs on Tucker Carlson says not one president has ever controlled the CIA, not one. And the only one who tried was JFK, and he ended up being dead. That's not me. Jeffrey Sachs is anything but a right winger. He is a moderate to the nth degree, leaning left, pro-abortion, everything. And not one president has ever, ever controlled the CIA. And the only one who tried both him and his brother, JFK and RFK, are dead with their heads blown off. So please, I mean, if you think that there isn't CIA involvement in this, the CIA is a fascistic organization. They are basically, Tim Walz likes to use the word Gestapo. They are the Gestapo for American corporate interest, not American citizens' interest. And you're like, well, corporations would benefit America. No, because those corporations oftentimes have zero benefit to the citizenry of the United States of America because all of their factories and jobs are overseas. Hence the reason why the CIA has to basically clear the field for them to set up their corporate interest overseas. And all of those members of the CIA end up on boards and get jobs when they go out of governments in the very companies that they cleared the fields for. So please, just all I ask is that you don't really choose sides and just be anti-war, because everybody's pro-war until you're freaking fighting one. You go fight in it. That's my thing. You need to go fight in a war, actually. Everybody is pro-war. Because here's the thing. I don't care how skilled you are. You can be like, you know, you Mr. Weightlifter. Great shape. SEAL Team 6. And you go onto the beaches of Normandy. And you're on that armored personnel carrier. And that flap falls down on the beach. And the machine gun fire starts from the M60s on the beach from them Germans. Doesn't matter how muscular you are when your head gets blown off by a 60 cal round. Does it? Everybody needs to tonight. If you're so freaking pro-war, you need to watch the first 30 minutes of Private Ryan tonight. Go watch it. And then you go fight. You can, by the way, you can. You can go join right now the military. You can go join the Ukrainian military right freaking now. You probably can't get in the IDF. I will say that. So there's just no reason to start a war based on all of these same climate change-esque predictions when Iran hasn't touched Israel for over a year. What's the point? It's the same thing over and over and over again. He wants regime change. He wants the mullahs out. I want the mullahs out. Who's going to get the mullahs out? The Lao Beijing of China, of Iran. This Lao Beijing is the term out of China for all of us who are oppressed by a government, which we are in the United States, i.e. COVID-19, 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve, and the banning of our speech and the confiscating of our weapons and a weaponized judicial system. If they want a new country, they need to rise up and go against the mullahs. They don't need Benjamin Netanyahu and the CIA setting up another fascistic puppet government that serves their own financial interests and other corporate interests that never, ever trickle down to us. People think, okay, well, the CIA is out there fighting for American interests. They're not. They're fighting for CEOs' interests that never, ever reach us. That money never reaches us. The jobs never reach American shores. The ones that the CIA are allegedly fighting for. If you want really great information on this, go follow Mike Benz. He will tell you. Because people think the CIA, you know, the NSA are fighting for America. No, they're not. They're fighting for the interest of their benefactors, the people that give them jobs after they retire from the NSA or the CIA. Has our economy gotten better? Are we not $37 trillion in debt? Then how in the world is the CIA fighting for our financial interests overseas? Has that got any better? Ain't got any better. Has it? Big, beautiful bill. Hadn't brought that down yet. All right. I don't know where I'm at. Okay, here we are. Townhall.com. What was that, like a 30-minute rant? I don't feel like talking tonight.
Love it.
You got the Joseph Mutztik.
Where am I? Okay, there we go. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, man. All right, Joseph, something like Moose Tech video. Here's a video of Benjamin Netanyahu again. Play for me.
If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region. And I think that people sitting right next door in Iran, young people, and many others will say, the time of such regimes, of such despots, is gone. There is a new age. Something new is happening. Removing Saddam's regime is itself legitimate, is not one of them. And equally immaterial in my mind is the argument that America cannot oust Saddam without prior approval of the international community. Because this is a ruler who is rapidly expanding his arsenal of biological and chemical weapons. This is a dictator who has used these weapons of mass destruction against his subjects and his neighbors. And this is a tyrant who is feverishly trying to acquire nuclear weapons. You cannot prevent a dictator who has used terrorism in the past.
How'd those weapons of mass destruction turn out for all of us? We do have thousands of dead Americans. We did get that. We have no oil interest in Iraq and $7 trillion worth of more debt. How'd that work out? How's that work? Go bomb. Let's go to war. How'd that work out? We got a whole bunch of dead Americans. We have guys walking around with no legs, no longer walking around in wheelchairs. We have guys, you know, with PTSD that are never going to be the same from being over there. We have guys that have died from, you know, various chemical illnesses and cancers from being over there. So, I mean, how has that benefited us? Can anybody explain that to me? It was Benjamin Netanyahu said, oh, in his prediction, once again, his awesome prediction, that if you get rid of Saddam Hussein, who's feverishly going after nuclear weapons, by the way, with no evidence of that ever happening. But anyway, he's feverishly going after them. He said that once you get rid of him, the whole region's going to be stabilized. How's that panned out? Because he's been out of power since, what, 2002? So how's that panned out over the last 23 years? Has the region stabilized? No, you basically have regime change in Syria. It's a total and complete mess. Lebanon's a complete mess. Iraq's a complete mess. Libya is basically in civil war, constantly civil war. And what are we guaranteed to? You get rid of Gaddafi, man, Libya's going to be a paradise. Complete mess in a civil war. Iraq's a complete mess until Trump stabilized Iraq by getting rid of ISIS in 3 months, because Trump is a great president and actually commits to war fighters and getting the war completed. So he got rid of he did what Hussein Obama couldn't do in 8 years and got rid of ISIS in 3 months, just like Joe Biden couldn't close the border in 4 years and Donald Trump closes it in 4 days. But how's that? All these predictions, how have they all panned out? Not one of them was true. You think it's, and everyone's excited tonight. And I hope you saw the pregame with Bannon. And Bannon's like, you know what? You know, was that the pregame or do I actually have that here? That's in the pregame. No, I got it here. Good. Yeah. Because everyone's all, you know, people, and I'm not saying anybody watching this, I don't know where you stand. And by the way, we can, on this year, we can agree to disagree. Go ahead. You can disagree. But if you honestly believe that there is pure good guys and bad guys, you're going to end up with a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. There isn't. You, only good guy. Jesus even corrected somebody who came up and said to him, it was to the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18. He came up and said, good teacher. And Jesus said to him, why are you calling me good? Because only God is good. Even Jesus said that. So you know, please understand, you are following some level of evil. Even with Donald Trump, who's not born again. I love him. And I think he has the potential to be the greatest president of all time. If he deals with the debt, he actually lowers the debt he is. And I mean, I'll vote for him again in 2028 if he runs. But I still know what I'm dealing with here. Donald Trump is trying to usher in real ID as we speak. So I deal with people on a percentage basis. Same thing with Israel. They're wrong here and they're right in other areas. That's how it is. Here's a great one. So here's Tampon Tim is all over right now in the news. He's on the congressional hearings. I don't think I'll get to it tonight on this congressional hearing stuff, which means I probably never will, because that's going to fade into oblivion. But anyway, townhall.com video. Tampon Tim with the worst foreign policy take in the wake of Israel's attack on Iran. Here's what Tim Walz said. Who is the voice in the world now? Who holds the moral authority? His answer, it might be the Chinese. Play it for me.
We have a recent update for you guys. Failed Democratic presidential candidate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, was just asked about the strikes in Israel and Iran. And here's what he had to say about it.
Now, who is the voice in the world that can negotiate some type of agreement in this? Who holds the moral authority? Who holds the ability to do that? Because we are not seen as a neutral actor. And we maybe never were. I don't want to tell anybody that. I think there's a lot of people who say you always leaned one way in this. But I think there was at least an attempt to be somewhat of the arbitrator in this. We saw President Carter do it with Begin and Sadat. We've had certain wins along the way that were actually mutually beneficial both ways. Now I ask who that is. And I mean, consistently over and over again, we're going to have to face the reality. It might be the Chinese.
Oh, he sounds crazy.
Wasn't on my bingo card, George P. So wow. Tim Walz is saying.
I tell you, they always out themselves. Everybody always outs themselves. It's hysterical. It really is. So Tim, who is known for his many, many, many trips to China himself, claiming to be there for the Tiananmen Square confrontation with the citizenry Lao Beijing versus the Chinese army, claimed to have been there, has since had to retract it. Even in the congressional hearing, he went back and forth with, I can't remember whether it was Marjorie Taylor Greene or Nancy Mace. But anyway, so this liar who loved to bring people to China has deep CCP ties, is now advocating for them to be the moral majority, the moral authority, correction, in the Middle East. So the guy who is most likely a Chinese asset, seriously, I mean, if you track his connections to China, to the CCP, to the PLA, he is most likely a Chinese asset in America, is now advocating for them to be the moral authority in Middle East affairs. They always out themselves. That's why I say, if Tim Walz, right now, all of us, would you be like, if America entered into a war and Tim Walz was the vice president, would you be thinking we're right?
Oh,
that's what I'm saying about Israel. Can everybody please understand that when you're dealing with unsaved people, when you're dealing with reprobate mind people, everything is a percentage. Sometimes they do good, sometimes they do bad. It's not, and when they do good, it still doesn't mean they're 100% righteous, because their motivations are oftentimes wrong, i.e. Benjamin Netanyahu's motivations are to stay in power by continuing conflict, because he would be ousted from power if they weren't under a state of emergency. And whenever you get emergency powers, you create emergencies so that you stay in power. It's very simple. All right, Disclosed TV. Here he is. He's Aaron. Can you side by side? Here he is, whenever there's a war on the horizon or happening, or if the war starts to disintegrate, you know, the war's starting to fall apart, people are starting to talk about peace, enter in Mikey. Here comes Mikey Pompeo to reinitiate the war, to instigate the war again. Mikey Pompeo loves every minute of war, and his fat rear end, who's never been capable of doing one sit-up or even jogging 10 yards his entire fat life, wants everybody else's sons and daughters to die in the flames of foreign wars. That's what Mike wants. You know what last night I listened to when I got home? It's funny because it just popped up. I sat down. I do some more. You're like, Tom, don't you have a life? No, I don't. I'm a loser. I like it. I enjoy my loser life, but I'm just telling you. Here's the thing. I sat down, started to do more podcast prep when I got home last night, and I'm up till, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning every night. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and right on my iPad, this one right here, I've got it everywhere. Put on there, because I got one screen going over here, and then I'm flipping videos over here. You're like, you're a maniac. I know. I am. So you're like, find something to do. I don't want to find anything to do. You ever watch the movie Heat when you have Al Pacino, Mika, Rob De Niro, and they both are like, I don't want to do anything else. I don't either. You have the cop doesn't want to do anything else but chase the bad guy, and the bad guy doesn't want to do anything else but take down scores. I'm the same way. I don't want to do nothing else. And then, Tom, go play golf. Don't want to. I want to be mad about politics all day. That's what I like. I don't even remember. Oh, so I turn on the I flip on the iPad. So I'm flipping, finding videos over here, scrolling Twitter over here, and forwarding stuff to Aaron, which I'm sure he loves, because I forward him like 80 things at night. Wham, tamam. He has to turn his phone off because it's going ding, yeah, ding, ding. Like, you're the most annoying boss in the world. Probably so. But anyway, so I'm like,
He's the best.
We love him. But anyway, so what comes on? Black Sabbath, War Pigs. I watched the whole freaking video. And all I'm thinking about is freaking Pompeo.
Yeah.
War pig. BB Netanyahu, war pig. Everybody dies but you. Nobody profits but you. But anyway, here he is, former CIA director, disclosed TV video. Mike Pompeo says, there may be an event somewhere in the world, adding that Iranians have a great cyber program. Let's just blame everything on them. And the Iranian Republican Guard has planted little terror cells all across the globe. So what will happen? Credit Alex Jones on this. Anything that happened will now be blamed on the Iranians as a precursor to start another war.
Yep.
Anything that happens will be the Iranians. If there's an assassination attempt on Trump, it was the Iranians. Bomb them again. Get the Americans involved. What was happening before? Trump didn't want to involve himself in this. Was Benjamin Netanyahu trying to involve us in this? Absolutely. Didn't want it. And then you end up with the assassination of the two embassy workers, the consulate workers. What city was it in? Chicago? I can't remember.
I think so.
Chicago, by the radical Islamists. Strange, isn't it?
Mm.
That's weird that that happens right before that. And then Trump is on the cusp of a nuclear deal with Iran, and then Netanyahu attacks. And Trump is on the verge of a peace deal between Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin, and Pompeo shows up again. Everywhere there's a war, or war is starting to die down and needs to be, you know, reignited, here comes Pompeo. Play it for me.
Careful who you are around in terms of large events, Jewish events. I mean, this sounds like we've gone backwards decades in terms of the threat on Jewish lives, but that's exactly what this is also about.
Harris, I actually think it's just the converse of that. I do agree this could be a very high tension, stressful, and indeed there may be an event somewhere in the world. It's not just the missiles or drones they'll fly to Israel, but the Iranian IRGC, the very leadership the Israelis destroyed last night, mm-hmm. has been working in nearly every country around the world, including the United States of America, to plant little terror cells all across the world. Hezbollah was doing the same. So this will be a very difficult period. But in the end, this was not a reckless attack, but indeed what they did was decent and just and righteous, and will reduce risk to the Jewish diaspora around the world. And for Israel and for the United States of America, a really good set of outcomes are in the offing, so long as Israel is prepared to finish the task, and as long as the world unites to provide continued deterrence and defense to prevent Iran from conducting all kinds of attacks. I think of cyber threats that will probably be projected around the world too. Iranians have a great cyber program. So lots of vectors for them to respond. We all need to be alert and responsive and do everything we can to deter them from coming after any American anywhere in any.
This is just another Jim Comey type of thing. 8647. That was basically a worldwide alert. Let's all try to assassinate Donald Trump. That's what it was. That was basically Jim Comey saying to all the globalist terrorists, all the global assassins out there, I am telling you, we need to target Donald Trump, right? Well, basically what war pig Pompeo is saying here is, you know what? Anything that happens, because there's these terror cells everywhere. Now, do I believe there's terror cells? Yes. But what that actually he's saying here, again, credit Alex Jones, is we are now going to blame anything and everything that happens on the Iranians. And let's just ask ourselves these questions like I always ask you. Like during COVID, how many people that you know died of COVID in their home? Not dying of being COVID killed in the hospital using remdesivir. Where were all the body trucks? Show me the evidence. There wasn't any. So here... Or again, the trans genocide, where all of us white supremacist terrorists are all terrorizing transgender human beings and they're all dying. Where's the evidence? None. So I ask you this. If you're really for bomb Iran, go get them. Go get them, everybody but me. If you're really for that, name one time an Iranian's ever had a negative effect on your life. Did you name it? I'm just curious. Just like I would ask a transgender person, show me video of any white male attacking you in any way, shape, or form, even just verbally, when you aren't the instigator of it. You know, outside of those times where they get so offended because somebody calls them a man because they are one. I mean, what do you do when a man walks in there dressed as a woman? I'm not calling you by your new name. But again, I digress. All right, let's go to this one. So here's Bannon on it. Grace Chong video. Bannon, remember, and everything you're going to see on Fox News today and all the high-fiving, go back to Fox News coverage of shock and awe on 19th March 2003. Play for me.
Remember, and everything you're going to see on Fox News today and all the high-fiving, go back to Fox News' coverage of shock and awe on 19th March 2003. What was that, 22 years ago? 22 years ago, you're old enough to remember, particularly the boomers. All of you boomers skipping around right now. What happened in Iraq? We were lied to. What happened in Iraq? The law of unintended consequences.
Weapons that are being used today have a degree of precision that no one ever dreamt of in a prior conflict.
The bombing, designed to shock and awe Iraq's military, centered on Baghdad, but also struck key targets in Mosul and Kirkuk in the north, and Basra in the south.
We successfully accomplished our mission. We did everything that we set out to do. Everybody's back safe and sound.
All targets are designed to undermine the regime of Iraqi President Saddam Hussein, and to convince his generals to turn on him or at least surrender. Such as, for instance, this presidential palace compound, which is located in downtown Baghdad. The concussions jolted Iraqi officials giving a military briefing. While some Iraqi regular troops are giving up, others are fighting. Two U.S. Marines have been killed in action, and there are no signs yet Saddam Hussein's generals are defecting.
Apparently, what we have done thus far has not been sufficiently persuasive that they would have done that.
The U.S. has taken some ground in the south, including Umm Qasr, a key southern port, along with two airfields in western Iraq. The southern oil fields have just about been secured, and the U.S. ground forces have moved more than 100 miles into Iraq from Kuwait. But the war is far from won.
Clearly, we're moving towards our objectives, but we must not get too comfortable. We're basically on our plan and moving towards Baghdad, but there are still many unknowns.
Yeah, remember that when everyone was all happy? And of course, there's various versions of that because you had the one in the early 90s, and then we got the glorious one in you had the Kuwait in the early 90s, and then you got the glorious one in 2000. Why? What have we gotten out of it? Can anybody name it? I mean, we did get trillions of dollars worth of debt and thousands upon thousands of Americans dead. What else do we get? How's that panned out for you? Ain't true. I mean, it really, it's same old thing, same old guy. Do a deep dive on Don Rumsfeld when you have a chance. And how all of these people float in and out of the CIA, by the way, also, and instigate the wars and then profit off of them to get onto the boards of the military industrial complex during and after the wars they've instigated. So that the profits that they get the royalties from just go up and up and up. Would you, I mean, so if you're any of these people, whether it's Lloyd Austin, who goes from Raytheon board to Secretary of Defense, back to Raytheon board, back into the DOD, then back to the Raytheon board, would you not be doing things to line your pockets to personally profit while you're in government? If you're in government, you know that if you secure multi-billion dollar contracts that require warfare, and you're going to get the royalties off of that, you're going to get the commissions off of that when you go back into the private sector, you're not going to do that? I mean, I know we wouldn't because we're red-pilled, decent Christian people, but not these people. And even the ones that are, it's like Ted Cruz, all in on this, all in, all in. He's on Ben Shapiro. They're all in. Ben Shapiro wants everybody to fight but Ben. Fat Cruz, everybody but Fat Cruz. You think Fat Cruz is going to go over there and fight? Never. Not one day in his life. You're like, man, you're tough on Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz some of the time, but he's a COVID-caving coward. I'm vaccinated. He's masked and he's vaccinated, caving the whole time, ankle grabbing. And again, he's not just an ankle grabber. He's a full under-the-foot grabber, making sure he's spread as wide as possible. He's like, you know what? I'm not spread wide enough with just the ankles. I gotta grab underneath the soles of my feet because I mean I want to make sure I'm spread wide for the globalist. So I don't just want a needle. I want a turkey baster up the rectum. Give me the clot shot up the rectum with the turkey baster. I want to show my commitment. So I'm just telling you, choose wisely. Choose wisely, and how you should choose is percentage. You go all in with Yahweh, with Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. Go all in. They are pure. The God of Israel, by the way, the God of Israel, the mighty God of Israel. People can say whatever they want. And, you know, again, you're like, Tom, you're playing both sides. No, I'm playing the honest game. Because I know the Bible verses, and I know that Israel, 2 Samuel 7:24 says that he has chosen them as his own people for forever. That's what he says. Because that's what it is. That's the word of God. But it doesn't mean, obviously, let's look at what God did to Israelites himself. So they're obviously not always right because they're God's chosen people. See, everything should be on a percentage basis. It's not Israel good, everybody else bad. It's sometimes Israel's good, and sometimes their opposition is bad. And sometimes their opposition is correct, and Israel's bad. Israel wants a biometric ID. Israel wants lab-grown meat. Benjamin Netanyahu can't get it fast enough. Is that all you people are for this war? Who are very much like me, anti-COVID, anti-vax, anti-COVID totalitarianism, you realize that Israel is the number one caver on the planet to COVID, right? Maybe second only to Australia. You realize that, correct? And they their own scientists told them it was a hoax, and they still blew it off and put in, you want to talk about a precursor to the mark of the beast with their own green pass, can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without your vaccine passport in Israel, and they want biometric ID, and Benjamin Netanyahu, have you seen the video of him touring their lab-grown meat factories? He's all enthralled by it. What does that taste like? Ooh, that tastes like salmon. Ugh. Yeah, you know, it's probably made by salmon anus, and you're sitting there eating anus as the devil mocks you. Ooh, look at these idiots eating anus. You know, I got them to eat. I got him to put on three masks too, you know, watch him eat anus. It probably doesn't mean it's like anus farms and Netanyahu's, that's anus. Oh, man, you know what? That's a little chewy.
We're cloning
that's
anus.
A little muscular. Anyway. it's all I want to talk about. But anyway, let me show you this. Let me just change subject for a minute. Let's get off of Israel. Let me show you this. This video is just for my amusement only, just so you know. It's Brandy Cruz video. And it shows you the difference between Seattle and Brevard County, which is in Florida, and Florida when it comes to these riots. Look at the difference in the realpolitik of both. Play it for me.
How will SPD show up under your leadership to serve and protect our residents when Seattleites are protesting the federal administration and are facing the U.S. military on the streets of Seattle?
I will do everything in my power, I want to be clear, to protect anyone in Seattle from anyone who comes to this city with the intention to hurt them or inhibit their First Amendment rights. At some point, I will probably go to jail and be in prison. Because we have an administration that has threatened to jail politicians and indeed has done so.
If you resist lawful orders, you're going to jail. If you block an intersection or a roadway in Brevard County, you are going to jail. If you flee arrest, you're going to go to jail tight because we are going to run you down and put you in jail. If you spit on us, you're going to the hospital and in jail. If you hit one of us, you're going to the hospital and jail and most likely get bitten by one of our big, beautiful dogs.
A beautiful dog.
If you throw a brick, a firebomb, or point a gun at one of our deputies, we will be notifying your family where to collect your remains at because we will kill you graveyard dead. We're not going to play.
Difference? You see, everybody see the difference? And Aaron was just telling me about it. He's looking for the... Oh, you got it? You got
no,
it already?
No, that's not it.
Oh, you don't have it. Yeah. Aaron's looking for the video for me. I see stuff on the left that you guys can't see that Aaron's throwing my way. But anyway, there's a video of Tampa, and there with as much people protesting, and when the light turned green, they're all blocking the road, but when the light turned green, they all sprinted out of the way, because in Florida, you know what, you surround my car, bye-bye. Yep. I'm not going to sit there while you surround my car, start beating on my car. I love my car. I love my Ford F-250. I got a Nissan Frontier also. You know what? You block my car, I'm running you over. I'll give you a little chance. If you start pounding on it, you run over, there's no little chance at all. You stand around with a bunch of signs. If I feel threatened at all I'm going to feel is thump thump. That's it. Just so you know. Let me show you this. Let me show you a little bit of this before we go. So I just want to parallel Israel to Ukraine a little bit. Nobody's talking about Ukraine right now, which is also on purpose. But here's the Lord. You're going to just side by side this one, guys, and then just play it, Aaron, and I'll know that you're playing it. But anyway, so this is the Lord Bebo video. I just want to show you the reality of warfare, because here, Russian cruise missiles rain on factories. You see that? Now, that's Russia still being nice. That's just sending targeted strikes of cruise missiles. And do you see that? You want to be there? Go attack them. Pro-Israel. Oh, go get them. War. Lindsey Graham. War. You notice how Lindsey Graham's never anywhere near the war that he instigates? Pompeo is never near the war that they're instigating. And look at that. You want to live in that hellfire right there coming down? Don't be so pro-war if you're not willing to fight in one. It's like I tell people, you don't know what it's like to be a cop, so don't be so critical about cops either. You have no idea what it's like to be one. So just, you know, those of you who haven't been one, don't be so critical. All right, let's go to the next thing. I think we're Axios. Aren't we at Axios?
Yep.
Yeah.
Axios. You got the Tampa thing?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, play it. Yeah, they're like out of there. They weren't sprinting, like I said. They're walking out of the way because they know in Florida we ain't stopping. Just so you know, we're not stopping, and we have sheriff's offices that will back us up too because it's a threat to our lives. So I just want to show you how this all parallels with Israel and how it's instigated by these war pigs. So here's Axios. Ukraine did not notify the Trump administration of the attack in advance. Now, Israel did. A Ukrainian official said, this was the whole Russian Pearl Harbor day when they went and blew up about 30% of their nuclear aircraft delivery system. A U.S. official also told reporters the Trump administration was not aware of the attack. Go to the next one for me. So I just want to show you how all this stuff pans out because it's very eerily familiar. Mike Pence, Ukraine carried out the Russian Pearl Harbor attack literally the day after Trump won, CIA director and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo arrived in Kyiv, as well as Senate Budget Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, who that day pledged to override Trump policy in Ukraine. Same people. Lindsey Graham is on cloud 9 today. He loves it, but fat Lindsey would never fight one day in a war. Not one. Go to the next one for me. So Alexei Koncharenko tweet, thrilled to welcome Mike Pompeo. This is just from a few weeks ago. Former U.S. Secretary of State at the Black Sea Security Forum. So again, everything's inverted. So the Black Sea Security Forum is the Black Sea Insecurity Forum or the Black Sea Pro-War Pig Forum. In Odessa, a key voice of global affairs and a true friend of Ukraine. Go to the next one for me. Here we are. Here's Lindsey. Lord Bebo tweet. Trump override. President Trump said the Ukraine doesn't have good cards, but the world has a lot of cards against Russia. And one of those cards that we have here is about to be played in the United States. And let's ask everybody in the room, how have you been negatively affected by Russia?
Nope.
Not one of us, and not one person watching right now. Out of the thousands that are watching right now, not one person has been negatively affected by Russia. But yet we endlessly attack them. For what? I'm not saying endlessly militarily attack them. We endlessly verbally attack them. We endlessly politically attack them. We endlessly blame them for things they never do, interfere in our elections. They never interfere in elections. They bought $200,000 worth of campaign ads in 2016 and haven't bought a freaking thing since. They love Trump so much. Why didn't they invest in Trump beating Kamala? Give it to me, Aaron.
Kamala.
There you go. So here's Lindsey again. The same war pigs show up every time there's about to be a war, every time they want there to be a war, every time the war's starting to fizzle out. They got to go and reignite it. I don't even know where I am. Go to the next one for me, whatever that is. What is the next one? Okay, good. Now I know. All right, Mega X Times Daily News video. How much did you and I pay to send Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal over there? Did anybody vote for that? Did you vote to send them over there? Well, don't worry. We spent $800,000 to send them over there. Play for me.
This is going to blow your mind. We have some shocking exclusive. Senator Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal have some explaining to do. Okay, their hotel bill will blow your freaking mind away. While Senator Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal strut through Kyiv, Ukraine, jaw-dropping State Department records just showed how much it costs the American taxpayer. Today, June 1st, 2025, two staggering transactions just surfaced. One completely mind-blowing of, okay, guess how much? $403,172. And another one for an eye-popping $411,634. What in God's name were these two doing? Who are they inviting? How? What? We need some answers. This is absolutely wild. Something is going on. What are they delivering cash to him? I mean, is that a side pocket money? What is happening here? Receipts are at the end of the video. This is absolutely wild.
So does everybody feel good that you spent Aaron, you got that clock? $800,000 over that, $400,000 a piece to send them over to Ukraine to do what? To reignite the war that was that Trump was trying to settle. Lindsey Graham, Richard Blumenthal. Richard Blumenthal, of course, of stolen valor himself, claiming that he fought in Vietnam. He never did. And Lindsey Graham has never found, find somebody who loves you the way that Lindsey Graham loves wars that he'll never fight in himself. $800,000 to send those two idiots over there to do nothing. There's nobody that nobody cares because it's not their money. When it's not your money, nobody cares. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, I want to tell you this about this video. This video was actually produced by Volodymyr Zelensky himself. So he actually produced this himself. So it is, I always want to be transparent. It is clipped, but Lindsey Graham did say all of these things, but he did clip it in a politically beneficial way for himself because Volodymyr Zelensky made this video. Play it for me.
Free or die.
Free or die.
Now you are free.
Yes.
And we will be.
And the Russians are dying.
It's the best money we've ever spent.
Thank you so much.
No.
Look at that guy. Aaron, can you side by side that little, I don't get that right there. That guy right there. He doesn't, I mean, how many deaths is he responsible for? I mean, he's going to stand in judgment just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Don't be like Lindsey Graham. All I'm asking you to do, you can be pro this Israeli strike and we can still be friends and we can still love Donald Trump together. Okay? And we can still be conservative. And we can still be legitimately conservative. But please make sure that you don't fall into this camp right here. Because he loves every war. And today he's happy about the Israeli attack on Iran. You should ask yourself, should I be happy about the same things that Lindsey Graham is happy about? Should I be? And let me show you this. This is real war. This is how Russians, as you can see it right here. Has it got sound here? Can you tell?
I think so.
Just play it real quick.
Yeah, it's got sound.
Okay, so it's got sound. Here, this is real Russia artillery. Like right now, people think, Aaron and I were joking while we were watching the video of Blumenthal and Lindsey Graham and their $800,000+ trip to Ukraine to reinstigate the war. We were joking, said we could go over to Ukraine. There's no war going on anyway. I mean, you can just travel right into Kyiv, and there's no threat. Zelensky travels all over the world. But anyway, that's because Russia's never let their military off the chain. This is their military off the chain. Play for me.
Джад. Ты что?
Aaron, just mute that and side by side it. Will Lindsey Graham ever be there? We know Richard Blumenthal certainly will never be there. This is real warfare, which, by the way, even Ukraine has not suffered yet because Russia has left their military on the chain because they just want to take the breakout provinces. You can be for, and by the way, the breakout provinces, as you hear on this podcast all the time, Donetsk and Luhansk are asking for Russia to come in and take them because they've already been bombed into oblivion in 2014 by the color revolution that was caused by Lindsey Graham. Anybody please, just please have a perspective of deep diving into every one of these wars and see who's actually behind them and who's profiteering off of them. Let me show you this. The video, serious allegations from former CIA officer Larry Johnson. Play for me.
And let me say something about Senator Graham. There will be news coming out in the next couple of months about how he has profited financially off of money that came out of Ukraine, laundered through Latvia, and made it way into his bank account. And now we're talking significant amounts of money. Department of Justice is looking at it.
All right, those are serious allegations leveled by CIA officer, former CIA officer Larry Johnson. We shall see.
So serious allegations. There will be news coming out in the next couple of months about how he, Lindsey Graham, has profited financially off of the money that came out of Ukraine, laundered through Latvia, and made its way into his bank account. We'll see. And now we're talking about significant amounts of money. Department of Justice is looking at it. There you go. Let me show you this. Mike Benz video. Mike Pompeo's speech in Ukraine. Play it for me.
I'd posit this. In chess, there's this concept, and in warfare, this concept of blitzkrieg. Move quickly, attack the enemy, be vicious. Sun Tzu wrote about it slightly differently. But I would suggest that even the model that this conflict has been fought on has been insufficiently aggressive. The West has not been prepared to do the necessary, which is to impose sufficient costs on Vladimir Putin and his regime, the leadership team around him, to impose enough costs on them such that they're prepared to actually stand down for a moment, for a time.
Wait, this is one day before the biggest attack on Russia in the entire war? One day he travels to Ukraine, one day before the bombs drop, to say that we need to conduct a blitzkrieg inside of Russia? The head of the Central Intelligence Agency and the Secretary of State for Trump won?
No, this is a constant challenge. But today, he believes the benefits of continuing this conflict exceed the costs. And we have to flip that. I'm certainly happy to talk about what that might look like. But what it begins with is this.
Yeah, please do. Go on.
It begins with the resolve to articulate this as the vision. It begins by speaking less about the things that we won't do. We are the things that we will deny the Ukrainian people the capacity to do to inflict real costs on Vladimir Putin.
I'm sorry. Wait. Wait. So we need to take the handcuffs off of Ukraine so that they can do the things that we've never previously authorized them to do. And the very next day that happened. Say it again.
Team around him to impose enough costs on them such that they're prepared to actually stand down for a moment, for a time. We know this is a constant challenge, but today he believes the benefits of continuing this conflict exceed the costs, and we have to flip that. I'm certainly happy to talk about what that might look like, but what it begins with is this. It begins with the resolve to articulate this as the vision. It begins by speaking less about the things that we won't do. We are the things that we will deny the Ukrainian people the capacity to do to inflict real costs.
The problem is we have denied the Ukrainian people the capacity to inflict real costs inside of Russia.
So there you have Pompeo the day before the biggest attack by Ukrainian forces on Russia, what's called the Russian Pearl Harbor, which is an exaggeration, but regardless, it was the biggest attack launched by Kiev onto by the Ukrainians into continental Russia. by preordained drone strikes that were pre-orchestrated drone strikes inside. Was basically, that's the new way of attacking right now, and that's something that everybody needs to think about when you're thinking about Joe Biden's 15,000 per day border invaders allowed into our country. Because the most modern way to attack, most modern form of warfare, is to smuggle in components of drones piece by piece and then construct them in a building somewhere, construct them in a facility somewhere, and then launch them from inside of the country. That's what, by the way, Israel did, part of what Israel did last night. Those were drones that were smuggled into the country piece by piece, reconstructed inside of the country, and then launched from inside the country. And that's exactly what Ukraine did. And lo and behold, this reinstigation of this war, this reignition of the Ukraine war, was the day after Pompeo's speech, the day after Lindsey Graham's arrival, the day after Pompeo's arrival, the day after Blumenthal's arrival. Lo and behold, three warmongering war pigs. Now, why would Pompeo do all this? Well, Pompeo, all credit Mike Benz here, Pompeo served as Trump's CIA director and then as Secretary of State. And by the way, he's had his security clearance removed. But it is his more recent board service with a Ukrainian oligarch's telecom foreign firm, coupled with his hawkish approach to global conflict, that has his comeback effort running into significant obstacles with Trump. Pompeo's financial ties to Ukraine, including his appointment last November to the board, Aaron, of Kyivstar.
Oh, of course.
The Ukrainian telecommunications giant. That would be like getting on the board here of Apple. His co-author, David Urban, also served as a managing director of BGR Group, a D.C.-based lobbying firm whose clients include a member of the Ukrainian parliament and an advisor of President Volodymyr Zelensky. Boom. Kyivstar is the largest mobile operator in Ukraine, as well as the country's top broadband internet, one of the country's top broadband internet companies. So he has a lot of financial interest in us spending hundreds of billions of dollars in Ukraine. And a lot of that money, substantial portions of it, end up in the pocket of Kyivstar, which ends up in the pocket of Mike Pompeo. His appointment to the board was a coup for the company, aligning its own interests with the powerful former Secretary of State, a quote unquote Republican. This is Pompeo talking. I proudly joined Vion and Kyivstar and their two Ukrainian companies that he's a part of in their extraordinary, but he is an unbiased, he is an unbiased, apolitical, nonpartisan commentator about the war though, and contributor on the war, analyst about the war, even though he has vast multi million dollar interests in Ukraine. I proudly joined Vion and Kyivstar in their extraordinary service to the people of Ukraine by providing essential connectivity and digital services and health, education, business growth, and entertainment. I also applaud Kyivstar's parent company, Vion, for its leadership in investing in Ukraine with their own long-term commitment and their Invest in Ukraine Now initiative, Pompeo said in a press release through Kyivstar's parent company. Tucker Carlson revealed that Pompeo, a real sinister persona and a criminal, had drawn up plans to kill Julian Assange, which, by the way, is a verifiable fact. Aside from his Ukraine work, he also made a fortune helping to broker Nepin Steel's takeover of U.S. Steel, which Trump had decried as a borderline treasonous selling out of Americans' industrial capacity. Isn't that great? What a great guy. He orchestrated a foreign company buying U.S. Steel. What a great guy Pompeo is. And remember, if you're on the side of Israel's attack, you're on Pompeo's side. You're on Lindsey Graham's side. And what you should have is a reasonable stand of understanding that Israel is not always right, and they're not right here, and they're right in other situations. And Iran has not done anything to them recently, and all that they're doing right now is enriching uranium. There's no proof of a bomb. They've been saying that they're on the cusp of a nuclear weapon since 1990. We showed you all the videos, and we showed you all the timelines tonight. All right, 10:38. Aaron, give me a little Trump. All right.
All right.
There we go. So
it's Friday.
On the rants to everybody. Thank you. If you did give him the rant, we want to just read to you. Thank you. Everyone who gave him the rant, but we lost the power outage, so we don't know who gave him. We lost it in the power outage. So if you did give, we don't know. We love you guys. Appreciate you. I guess I could scroll through here.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah. Oh, man. Man, you guys talk a lot in the rant. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that. But anyway, I love you guys. Appreciate you. Oh, listen, you got to have a church. I think we broke the record on Sunday, didn't we? Did we break the record again? I think we broke 1,400 watching live. So anyway, join us on Sunday morning. Listen, Trump is great. But listen, as I've been saying, all podcasts, there's only one who is absolutely right all the time and has absolute righteousness and purity, and that is the Almighty God, the Almighty God of Israel, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, Yahweh, three in one. You got to have God. You've got to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We might be winning politically. We might be up. We might be down. None of it matters when you have a relationship with Jesus. So join us this Sunday. You want a church that's just like this podcast? And just try it. Just try it. You might think he won't say certain things. But I'll say everything. I'll say anything and everything. I get in all kinds of trouble for the things I say from the pulpit. So please join us. We'd love to have you. It's hardcore Bible thumping. We look like a normal modern church, but we are not. Ask Brent. He's been to both. You can ask Brent. We look like a modern church. We actually try to trick people into coming by putting out our worship videos because they look like we're way better than a lot of churches, but I'm just saying, we look like a nice church, but listen, we are a Bible thumping. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword type of church. Hellfire and brimstone mixed with the promises of God. God wants you wealthy and full of wisdom and wants you to win every time. So join us at Foundation Church this Sunday at 10 a.m. You'll see Aaron about 10:15. You'll see me at about 11 preaching the gospel. All right, stick around for the post game. It is awesome. If I don't see you on Sunday, I will see you on Monday night at 9 o'clock. God bless each and every one of you.